Okay, so we are on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're 3 lines from the top. We'll just go back to the case that we were just talking about. We're in the third case now, that where we pass in like Rish Lakish and not like Rav Yochanan, which is an aberration. Usually, Machlokish is Rish Yochanan, Rish Lakish halacha ke Rav Yochanan. Here we're getting 3 cases where we pass in like Rish Lakish. So the third case was as follows. V'idach, Gemara says V'idach. The next case. What was that? This name. We had a Mishnah. Kosev konachasav the bno la'achar moso. Right. The person scenario was a person writes an ishtar. He's selling all of his, giving all of his nachasim, all of his property to his son. That will be. He's writing it now, but it won't be. Right. He won't really own it until achar misa. Right. Mikan from right now, but it's la'achar misa. It's for after he dies. In a yachal limkor b'pneishin nisan on leben, right? So the father can't sell them. So he is a house that belongs to the father owns, that he said it's going to belong to the son when the father dies. So the father can't sell it because he gave it to his son already. Just to make it clear, this isn't a really regular case of Yerusha, because it's Rashi points out mehayom alachamisa. Meaning it's retroactive to once he dies, it's retroactive to before, to the day of the matana. Because otherwise, if any property belongs to any person, he can sell or give away, even though that will impact his children's ability to get a Yerusha on it afterwards. Right? That's always my prerogative, the person's prerogative. So the point here is that it's a little the different. The what's unique about this case is that the father says it's yours today, la achar misa. So because of that, it already belongs to the son now, just not until the father dies. Okay? So that's different than a regular case of Yerusha, where whenever the father dies, the son will be Yoresh from that moment on. Right? So that's the reason why the father already now, while he's still alive, can't sell it, because at this point, it sort of belongs to the son in a certain sense. Fine. So the point is, person writes all their nechassim to their son la'achar moso, and it'll take hold after he dies. Ha'av and yachal limkor mepneishin his son on the ben. But the father can't sell the property because now it belongs to his son. Va'bein and yachal limkor mepneishin heim birsha sa'av. But the son also can't sell the property. Why? Because it's still right. This moment it still belongs to the father. After the father dies, will turn out. Again, it'll turn out retroactively that it belonged to the son, but right now he can't do that because it still belongs to the father. Fine. So, but what happens if he did it anyways? Machar ha'av, what if the father does sell the property, does sell the item? What happens then? Mechurin, it's sold. Ad shia mosu, right? It's sold until the father dies. Meaning why? Because once the father dies, it's going to go back, it goes back to the son, right? Machar ha'ben, but if the son sells the property or sells the item, again, while the father's still alive, it still belongs to the father. So what happens? Ein lokech klum ad shiemosa av. So in that scenario, the buyer doesn't have anything until the father passes away. Because again, none of the sale wasn't going to be the gift from the father to the son doesn't take place, doesn't take hold, I should say, until the father dies. Okay. V'idmar, and the Gemara has another halacha related to this. What's that? Machar haben b'chayev, umeis haben b'chayev. What happens if the son sells the property or sells the item while the father is still alive, and then he dies while the father is still alive? Okay? So remember, it's going to be the son's property once the father dies, but then the son dies before the father. Right? So what happens then? If Yochanan Amar lo kana lo kayach, if Yochanan says this sale is a zero, for Reish Lakish Amar Kana Lokeach. Reish Lakish says that the sale works, and they're going to explain why in a second. So one piece here to point out, well, let's see Rashi, is the status of the father's involvement in this property from the time that he quote sells it to the son until he dies. What's his status there? What rights does he have? So the Gemara assumes that the entire time, from the time the father sells gives the property to his son until he dies, he has what's called some zechus in the peros. Right? He's able to, if there's a value add, if there's know, if it's a field and it actually produces something, the father gets the produce. The father gets what is that which is produced by the property. So just take a look at Rashi. Rashi's going to say as follows. So look at Rashi. Machar ha'av mechurin. See that Rashi? The last word in the line is machar. It's like five lines down in the skinny lines in Rashi. So Rashi says machar ha'av mechurin. Meaning if he sells it, it's sold. Le'echol lel halokeach peros koy mechay ha'av. Meaning if the case we just had before, what if the father sells it, right? So the father sells it while he, again, sells the property to this guy, some other person. And again, once the father dies, it's gonna go, the property's gonna go to the son anyways, right? But during that time in between, from the time of the sale until the father dies, the lokeach, the buyer, is allowed to eat the peros. Because the father maintains his connection to the field. It's still his all this time, in the sense that it's his, that he's able to at least get that which the field produces. Right, that would literally the produce, right? But it could be other things also. It could be that profit that it produces, etc. The father still holds on to that as long as he's alive. After what belongs to the son, even nolamafreya, even after he dies, is going to be the property itself. But that which is produced by the property, the father still has a zechusin. So when he sells it to this other person, that person still can get that all that time, right? But look at the next, keep going in Rashi, Meis HaBen Mechayev. So, but what happens if, what we mentioned, that the son sells it, and then he dies, while the father is still alive? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Lo Kana Lokeach, Afilu L'Cheshiyah Mosa'av. Right, in that case, the son who sold the property to some other person, Reuven, so Reuven doesn't get the property ever, even once the father dies. Why? D'kinin Peiro Shahaya Lo La'av B'Nechasim Halalu, Kikinna guftam. The Gemara is going to give this example, this rule in a minute, that whenever a person has a kinyan in the right in the peros, that's considered like owning the whole property. Meaning that the father who's been holding on all this time to the peros, right, all this intermittent time, right, from the time that he hands it over to his son until the time that he's going to die himself, he still has the zechus in those peros, in the items that which is being produced by it. And the fact that he has that, that's considered that he's still considered the owner of the property in a certain sense. Ve'i mechiras haben mechira, right? So the selling of the son doesn't do anything. Umasnizin dekatani ein lokeach behen kolum. And when the Mishnah said before that the buyer gets nothing, achi yamasa'av, hakash yamasa'av yeshlo, right? But the point being before that, again, if the son would sell it, and then he would stay alive, right, until the father dies, then the buyer gets the property. Hasam de mesa'av b'chayeben. That's when the father dies afterwards. V'niskai mahamatana. And then, when the son's alive, when the father dies, so now the matana's chal, and the matana goes through. The transfer happens. Uma macha rishon l'sheni, ko zechus shetavu l'yado, ava mesa'ben lo ba zechus l'yado. Right, I mean, when the son sells to his friend, while his father's still alive, he's basically selling to him, look, you can hold on to this as long as I'm alive. As long as I'm alive and my father dies first, then you'll cash in. But if I'm going to die first, then you'll never cash in, because the whole point was it was only supposed to go to me once if my father died first. Fine. But the point is as follows. So in this scenario, what happens though when the son sells it and then he dies before the father dies, right? So if Yochanan holds, we said, go back to the Gemara, Lokana lokeach, that does nothing. Rish Lakish Amar Kona lokeach. Rish Lakish says no, that the buyer still works. Why is that? So the Gemara explains the distinction. Rav Yochanan Amar Lokana lokeach kinyan peiros kinyan guftami. Rav Yochanan holds, since in the meantime, like we said, from the time that the father gives this field over to the son, and the son dies, or the father dies, the father has a kinyan peiros. The father still gets the produce. And Rav Yochanan holds that kinyan peiros is like kinyan aguf. So the fact that the father continues to hold on to the zechus of the peiros, that means that it's still like he's holding on to it. So when the son dies and the father's still alive, what happens? Everything goes back to the father because he's been holding on to it the whole time. However, Rish Lakish Amar Kana Lokeach, Rish Lakish just holds no. This sale is a good sale. Why? Kinyan peiros lav kinyan aguf tami. The fact that the father held on to the profits or the produce that came out of that field, that's okay. He was kind of a placeholder though. That the fact that he held on to that produce doesn't mean he has any actual you know, any actual claim to the actual property. Because in the end of the day, he sold the property, or he gave the property away. So the fact that he gave the property away to the son just hands the lease to the new guy that he sold it to. Once the son dies, okay, so now the other guy holds on to that lease, or that deed, I should say. And then when the father dies, the new lokeach owns it. The fact that in the meantime, the father can collect peros, it doesn't make any difference. Having the peros, it doesn't make any difference. Fine, so that's the third example where Ruch and Rish Lakish argue, and we pass in that case, like Rish Lakish, that the lokeach would be, the sale would be effective. Fine. Okay. Next, we had said in the Mishnah as follows. If you turn back just for a second, just to get your bearings, on Lamed Hei Amud Beis, we said in the Mishnah, Lamed Hei Amud Beis, what would happen, right? The case was Hakonis Heis Yavam to Venim Seis Miuberes, right? That the Yavam goes ahead and marries the Yavama, and it turns out that she's pregnant, V'yalda, right? And she has the baby. Bizman Shavlad Shakayama Yotzi, V'chayav in Korban. If it turns out the baby's a healthy baby, he has to divorce her, obviously, right? Because this is his brother's wife. And you have to divorce her and you have to bring a korban. In ein vlad shakayama yakayim. But if the baby doesn't survive, he can stay married to her. Right? That's what we assumed. Why? Again, because if the baby's not shakayama, it turns out, right? It turns out we reveal now, retroactively, that she was ready for yibum, and she was yibum was appropriate, and this was yibum. And then so basically all turns on, depends on whether the baby is a baby that's gonna live or not. If it is, then the yibum was wrong, and they need to do tshuva, and they need to get divorced. And if the baby doesn't survive, so that means within the first 30 days, it's an afel, so that means that the yibum was valid, and there's no need to bring a korban, and no need to get divorced, because the marriage is fine. Okay. Tanim Yishum Rabbi Eliezer Amru Yotzi Beget. So they say the name Rabbi Eliezer, not so fast. Even in the scenario where the baby is an afel, and the baby's not going to survive. And we would have said, fine. So it turns out, you know, in a certain sense, they dodged the bullet in a certain sense that she, you know, really was roy for yibum. And now they didn't do an aveira, and they, we would say stay married. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you cannot stay married. Why can you not stay married? Look at Rashi. Tana Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Then Rashi. Rabbi Eliezer, poligah seifa demasnisin. Right, he's arguing with our conclusion at the end of our Mishnah. V'kai a'ein ha'vlad shal kayamak yikayim. And on this line it says, if the vlad's not, doesn't survive, you can stay married. V'kai amar ihu avap ishe'ein ha'vlad shal kayamak. Even though the baby doesn't survive. Kansinan lay, we punish him, basically. The yotzi v'get, that he has to divorce her. Mishum de nichnas the suffik iser eishes ach. Because he never should have got involved in this in the first place. And the fact that he got married in misuffik, he knew she was pregnant, or what? Didn't do enough due diligence to find out, and they got married anyways, and whew, dodged the bullet. No, I don't care about that. The fact that you got married when you shouldn't have, we make a knas and we punish them and we make them get divorced. But afagav da hashta iglag milsa the yibum me'al yahavai, and even though we found out that the yibum was fine, umiu beget below chalitza sagi. Fine, but nevertheless, they just give a get and don't need chalitza because at the end of the day it was actually a really good yibum. So since it was a good yibum, so he doesn't need to give her the chalitza, but he has to give her a get.
In that scenario, to marry a kohen afterwards, because she's now received, she's gotten a get from the
brother. No, correct. You're right. That'd be a tremendous chumrah, correct. Because now she's divorced. And by the way, that get is not a get misafik. That get is a vada get. Right? You force him to get divorced, and that get is a vada get. Absolutely. It's a very good point. It has even more far-reaching ramifications. This chumrah of Rabbi Eliezer is very significant. Very good. Excellent.
There's also still a gap between this and Reish Lakish, right? Because Reish Lakish, a get wouldn't be sufficient because the chalitza wouldn't be chalitza according to Reish Lakish. Right?
Or the yibum, not a yibum.
The yibum, not a yibum.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. You're right. You're saying if we do really pass on like Reish Lakish, that yibum of a muberes, lo shema yibum, then the whole thing wouldn't start either. Correct. That is true. But this, I guess, is according to Tanakh. What?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. That's correct. This is assuming the other side. This is assuming that the Yibum would be considered a Yibum. You're right. Absolutely. Because it's a classic case of Yibum of a Mubaris. Correct. Absolutely. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to give another example of Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir did a similar thing. The Gemara wants to say did a similar thing to Rabbi Eliezer. This, like, this super humra, or this, like, punishment for putting yourself in a bad spot. Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Eliezer, Amru Davar Echa. Rav Rav and Rabbi Meir, they did the same thing. Okay, they didn't actually say the same thing, but they did the same thing. What is that? Rabbi Lezer Hadam, right? Rabbi Lezer, what we just explained. Rabbi Meir, as follows. The sign of the Brisa says, Lo Yisa Adam Yuberes Chavero, Ubeinetes Chavero. A person should never marry, right, a woman who is pregnant from his friend, from another person, or still nursing from his friend, meaning not while they're still married. Obviously, it must be that they've already gotten divorced or he's died. But the point is that she's Muberes or she's a Meinekes, one or the other. Vimnasa Yotzi. And if he does marry her, Yotzi, they have to get divorced. Right? Veloyachach or Olamis. And they can never get married ever again. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Right? So Rabbi Meir says, if you did it, you shouldn't have done it. And if you do, you have to get divorced and you can never get married again. Chachamim Omrim Yotzi. Uluchashiagias Mano Lichnos Yichnos. The Chachamim say, no, they should get divorced. So he's not a Kohen. Right? Let them get divorced. Wait it out. Right? So we know exactly who the baby is, who the baby's father is, etc. All the points we've made before. But then when she's clear, now he can go ahead and marry her again. Right? So Rabbi Meir is the one who holds, no, the fact that you did something that was inappropriate, you violated the Dinder Rabbanan of it, you didn't have chana, basically. You didn't wait to get married. So that was wrong, and therefore you get a knas that you can never get married again. So Amalei Abaye Bimaya. So at first glance, it seems like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir doing the same thing. When you violate a din, you put yourself in a suffix situation, we actually don't allow you to fix it, and you get punished for having put yourself in that situation in the first place. So Amalei Abaye Bimaya. But that's, well, what are you talking about? Dilma Lohi. Maybe this comparison is not really correct, and really Rabbi Elazar and Abaye are not talking about the same thing. Ad kan lo ka'am Rabbi Elazar hacha. Why did Rabbi Eliezer say, in our case, Yotzi, right? Yotzi beget, right? That in our scenario, where the person did Yibum when she was pregnant, why was that? Because the suffix is a suffix d'araisa, a suffix iser karis, right? Of eishes ach, right? Of ahasam d'rabanan, right? But this scenario, the other case, the case of not marrying a woman when she's still pregnant, this is not, again, not, this is a random woman. This is not a case of Yibum. This is a random woman who you're permitted to marry, right? She's divorced. She's an almana, whatever she is. You're allowed to marry her. You're just supposed to wait so that we know who the father is. That's all. And that's a Dinder Abanan. You violate a Dinder Abanan? Maybe Rabbi Lazar wouldn't agree with that. He would only agree because this case was so serious, you put yourself into a suffix yisid daraisa. Right, but of a husband, there are abanan, kira abanan, so you're like, but in that case, where the din is only there abanan, the din there abanan of havchana, so then maybe he would not agree to be so machmir. Inam, you're out of the opposite direction. Ad kan loka amar Rabbi Meir hasam el mishen there abanan v'chachamim asu chizuk li divrehem yosir mishal Torah. Sometimes you find that with the din there abanan, we're actually more machmir. Why? Because people, it's just there abanan. So there are times when the Chazal actually are more machmir on dinei there abanan. Because people tend to be mazalzel. They tend to, whatever, it's just their abundance. So the chacham have to be, say chizuk divrayim, they punish, or they extra tax, or an extra fine, or whatever, specifically on their abundance, because we're more concerned that people will treat it as a joke. Right? Avahacha midaraisa, right? Mafrish parshim, you know, what do you mean? But this case is a daraisa, so we know he'll be extra careful to step away and make sure that, you know, it's not going to happen, and he wouldn't have. He would just say, "Let him separate, and he can go back when it's time to go back." So maybe Rav, meaning maybe Rabbi Meir was only going to be so machmir and say you can never marry her again, etc. That was only by the case of Adin Derabana of Havchana, but by the case of Yibum. Right, the Yibum of Imuberis, maybe there he would be willing to be more mekel. You know, let them separate, but then they can get married again. Or if it turns out that they dodged the bullet, let them stay married. Okay. So Amar Rava, fine, but that's the Gemara's, you know, not so fast that Rabbi Meir and Belazar are the same. Fine. So Amar Rava, uladivrei chachamim, yotziya beget. So Rava goes back to, again, our case from our Mishnah. According to chachamim, what happens? When he gets divorced, when they get divorced, they should... we're talking about in the new brisa. Right, in the new brisa, look at Rashi. Divrei Chachamim, de'amar lechashiyagia zmano lichnos yichnos. Right, the case was, right, the guy gets married to this woman, and she's pregnant. So that was the wrong thing to do. He has to divorce her. And then when she's the time's up, say the Chachamim, he can go ahead and marry her again. So Rava says, just so you know, according to the Chachamim, he should actually divorce her, right, with the get. Right, so let's go back to Rashi. Dimei Chacham de Amin de Chashiyagia Zman al Lichnos Yichnos Miu Ad Shiyagia Hazman Yotzi Beget Velo Sagile Ba'Afresha Ba'Ama. You can't just separate. Right? You can't just say they're going to separate. He actually has to divorce her. So again, as Michael pointed out before, that itself is a significant point, because if later on, let's say she was an almana and then she had lost her husband and now she married this new guy and then he ends up dying also. So what would that mean? She remains Mutaras Lakohen. If this scenario, they messed it up, right, and they got married too quick, and we make him get divorce her, and then he ends up passing away, I don't know, whenever, a few years later, she's now a grusha. So Rava just pointing out that that's not just a hafrasha, they actually have to have a get. So Amar Razutra, Daikanani, Dikatani, Yotziv, Lokatani, Yafrish, Mamina. So Razutra says, by the way, you're right, it's definitely true. You can see it in the language of the Bryce itself, in the sense that they required... the language is Yotzi, and now the language of Yafarish, or Yafrish. So you see that there's a requirement of an actual divorce. So Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Hoshaya Bereder of Idi, Hasam Tanan. We have a mission that says, Rav Shim Gamil Omer, Kol Sheshah Ba'adam Lamed Yom, Eino Nefel. Once we've been talking about Nefel, we just want to nail down some of the details here about a Nefel. The child who's born and passes away within 30 days. So Rav Shmuel Mila says, any child who stays alive for 30 days, ain't no nefil, right? It's not considered a nefil. The baby's considered a vlad shachem. Even the baby dies after 31 days or 32 days, it doesn't matter. That was an alive child that then just Rechman Lanzan passed away. As opposed to a nefil, which is considered it was never really a child that was gonna survive. Halosha sveika habe. Right, but if the baby doesn't last 30 days, so then the child becomes a suffik. We don't know if that child was considered a vlad shel kayama or not, right? Which has very important ramifications. The baby is considered a suffik at that point. What does that mean? It means that the cases of yibum is a suffik, right? Whether she requires yibum or not. Right. So if there was if this man dies and his wife had had a nafel at some point, so then again the question of whether whether the other brothers can do yibum with her, it'd be suffik. So the chorim suffik, we have to be machmer and say she can't do yibum, but they can do chalitza, something like that, because it's a question whether you ever had a child or not. Ve'itmar meis b'soch lamed yom ve'amda v'niskatsha. Right, if the child dies in 30 days and the woman got up and she gets married to somebody else, but v'nish mishmei derava amar imeishes Yisrael hi chalitzas v'imeishes kohen hi ena chalitzas. So what would happen if she got married? She had a nefel, and then she goes ahead and she gets married right away, meaning she didn't do yibum, she didn't do chalitza. So what do we do? So Ravina says, in the name of Rava, if the man that she married now is Yisrael, what do we say? Misafik, do a chalitza. Just do a chalitza. Why? Because she can be a chalitza, who cares? And she can still stay married to her original husband, to the new husband. Right? And we allow such a thing. Because why not? It's a safik, so misafik, we should be machmir, let her do a chalitza. However, if Aisha is kohen, but if her new husband is a kohen, ain't a chalitza, she doesn't do chalitza. Why? Because it's a suffix whether she requires chalitza or not. And if you require the chalitza as a chumrah, what's going to happen is she now can't marry this new man. So the assumption being, since, as far as we know, right, she doesn't require chalitza, because maybe the baby was an nefel, so be suffix, we don't make her become forbidden to her new husband. Look at Rashi. Meishas Yisrael hi im zesh kitcha Yisrael hu. Three lines in the bottom of the page in Rashi. She'im tachlo tzmina yabam la'acha kiddushin lo teyasar abayla. Right? If that happens, she won't be forbidden to her new husband. Then choletzes. V'im zesh akitsha kohen hu. But if the new husband was a kohen, she'im tachlo teyasar alav eina choletzes v'samchinen avlad. So then it says, we assume that since any baby born within 30 days is considered a nefel, so we'll allow her to stay married. Rav Misharsha Mishmei Derava Amar Achazu VaAchazu Choletzes. Rav Misharsha, in the name of Rava, says no. Rava didn't say that, and really he said no. If we really, it's a really suffik that she requires the chalitza midaraisa, so then suffik daraisa lachumra, she should actually have to get a chalitza and be forbidden to the new husband. So that's a much more difficult, response. It's going to be a much harder thing because you're basically saying that she has to get removed from her new husband and could never go back to him. So we'll see as we move along next week. We'll see how we deal with this machlokas, what Rav meant, and that we'll do next.